Rolling this thing into hour number two. Welcome back, or good morning, good afternoon, depends where you are. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Coming up later on this hour, the new head basketball coach at Kentucky, Mark Pope. However, coming up right this second, we are joined by an NFL Network insider. As a reminder, the NFL Network has comprehensive live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, Thursday through Saturday. Our guest can be seen on NFL 360's draft special tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Of course, I'm talking about Tom Pelissero. Tom, great to have you back. How you doing, Tom?
Doing great, Jim. Walking around downtown Detroit today. You can tell that the NFL is taking it over. It's not the old days of going to Radio City and doing it in the theater, man. They build this thing out. They take over the downtown space, and it should be buzzing here the next few days.
I was going to say, so how does it feel? Does it feel right?
Feels like it feels like another NFL takeover. You know, it's almost Super Bowl-like, where you got the fencing up and you got everything, you know, everybody's being rerouted downtown. I'm sure all the locals are annoyed that they can't just walk across the street anymore. But hey, man, this is a big deal. It's a traveling roadshow, and the NFL does a heck of a job putting it on.
That's it, and they've got the draft. It's in their town. So why don't we talk about that? It's a virtual lock, Tom, that the Bears take Caleb Williams first overall. I mean, the guy's skill set, his talent, they're undeniable. We know this. Have you heard any concerns at all around the league about how he might fit with the Bears in terms of the coaching staff or the talent he'll have around him? Is there anything else there?
I would say the biggest thing for other teams has just been about how unique the process is around Caleb Williams in terms of he doesn't have a traditional agent. He's got this team of attorneys and advisors. His dad, Carl, has been heavily involved and has had a vision for his son's career. You know, he pauses his pre-draft training and he takes a vacation to Tokyo with his girlfriend. He doesn't do the medical at the combine. He only takes one visit. These are all different things, but it's easy for other teams to say that they'd be nervous about it. It's a completely other thing to be holding the number one pick and have this guy who, before he ever set foot on a college football field, was a likely number one overall pick. The Bears are in this spot not because they were the worst team in the league, but this is a rare occasion where they hold it because of the deal they made last year with the Carolina Panthers. I had one coach tell me Caleb Williams is going to be stepping into a better situation than any quarterback in the past 5 years. And the Bears have really built this thing up with the idea all along that they were building it for Caleb Williams. This isn't like some past drafts where there's a real kind of back and forth and who are we going to take? They knew once they had the number one pick locked in, it was probably Caleb Williams. So what do? They change offensive coordinators. They bring in Shane Waldron, who's worked with a variety of different types of quarterbacks in Seattle and back in the Rams days. They think he's going to be a really good fit for Caleb. They signed DeAndre Swift. They trade for Keenan Allen. They retain their offensive line coach, Chris Morgan, who's one of the best run game guys in the league. They've already got a top 10 caliber defense with Matt Eberflus calling it for them. You know, this is a situation where it really is set up better than most teams that would be drafting number one. And from the Williams camp's perspective, you know, what they wanted from the Bears was a demonstration of investment and infrastructure. They wanted to make sure, and Caleb said this himself the other day, that he's in the best position possible to achieve his next goal, which is trying to win 8 Super Bowls, be the greatest of all time, and surpass Tom Brady. Now, that is a wild thing for anybody to say out loud or to show off, but you have to understand the psychology of Caleb and Carl and that group. You know, they set out from the time that Caleb was about 10 years old to make him the number one draft pick. They've accomplished that goal over 3 seasons at 2 different schools. He held serve. Now it's all about taking that next step forward. And if you would have gone back 6 months ago, 12 months ago, the Bears wouldn't have been at the top of the list of places that Caleb Williams wanted to go. But the Bears have done everything possible to demonstrate to Caleb Williams, you are in good hands here. We've got this. They sent him out to dinner with some of his future teammates back during his pro day visit. That all went really well. The coaches are still Zooming with him, staying in touch, just talking football, getting ready to launch this thing. They've had the advantage of knowing all along this was their guy. Everything the Bears have done, including trading Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick earlier than they needed to, that sent the signal we are all in on Caleb Williams. They could have picked up the phone and called him. That probably would have had the same effect. But they've shown again and again we are doing what it takes to put Caleb in the best spot possible. It is going to be a different type of situation just because Caleb is arguably the first true NIL quarterback coming in. He's a multimillionaire. He lives in a penthouse in L.A. Now he's moving to Chicago. And you know what, Jim? You know that market. You know the Bears as well as anybody. If Caleb Williams is as advertised, he will be the biggest stud in that city since probably Michael Jordan. That's the type of stakes that you've got out there right now for Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears.
Two things, Tom. Number one, that might be the most comprehensive response to a question I've ever gotten, and I mean that in the best way possible. And number two, you're right. I do understand the Bears. I understand that market. I mean, there's a lot of places where you want to be a star athlete, but I'm not sure there's a better place to be a star athlete than Chicago, and especially to be a star quarterback than Chicago. So if he is as advertised, that's going to be a great life. Tom Pelissero, my guest, what about the rest of Thursday? After the first pick, things can really get wild. What is the latest with the way in which the Commanders are leaning at number two, especially after they brought in multiple QBs all at the same time, and Jaden Daniels' camp apparently didn't like that very much? Where do they stand with that second pick? Who do they like best?
I've asked Jim some other general managers if they can ever remember a group visit for quarterbacks, because there are other teams that will try to do a lot of their 30 visits at once. And it's because of, you know, you observe dynamics, you get everybody in the building, and you kind of have like a team type of an environment. Nobody I've talked to remembers a team doing this with quarterbacks. And the big reason for that is because normally if you're evaluating quarterbacks, you want to maximize the amount of time that you have with them. If you're the DM or you're the head coach or the OC, you want to sit down for a couple hours and really get into it with these guys. When you bring in four of them at once, because Michael Penix was there as well as J.J. McCarthy and Drake May and Jaden Daniels, it's harder to do that. Now, I would point out only one guy got picked up at the airport by Dan Quinn, and that was Jaden Daniels. The other guys took a shuttle bus to the hotel. So if you want to read into the transportation here, you get a pretty good idea that Jaden Daniels was being treated slightly differently than the other guys. But this has been an open secret within the league just before the process started. Jaden Daniels has a relationship with Antonio Pierce going back to their days and him being recruited to Arizona State. Perfect world. He'd love to go and be a Raider. But Washington has sent the signal to everybody that's called on the number two pick, going all the way back to the combine, going back to free agent week, that they're not moving off of number two. Having said that, I don't know that I can sit here a little over 72 hours out from the draft and say definitively that Jaden Daniels is going to be the pick. You have a lot of voices involved in Washington. You got Josh Harris, who's a new owner. This is his first draft. He sat in on every meeting, every combine interview. He was a part of that group visit. You've got Bob Myers, the former Warriors general manager, who was at the combine, who has been a big part of the organization going back to when he helped run the coaching GM search. You've got Magic Johnson's going to have an opinion on things. You got Dan Quinn. You've got Cliff Kingsbury. All of which is to say, you have to work through this entire deal because these are different styles of quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, obviously, is a playmaker. I've had people tell me, scouts and coaches, he might be the most talented passer in the draft, even more so than Caleb Williams. It's just, yeah, he's undersized, and you know, you worry about the violent Looney Tunes-type hits that he takes out there on a weekly basis. Drake May is going to need more time. He's a different style of quarterback, but there absolutely is some love for him in the building. And I know for a fact, you know, the Commanders and other teams who went to J.J. McCarthy's pro day walked out of there going, that guy showed us more horsepower than we knew that he had. So if I had to guess right now, Jim, I would say Jaden Daniels at number two, but I would not say that that's 100% at this stage, which is when all the drama now comes from, because until the Patriots at three know for sure what's happening at number two, they're not moving. So any trade at three might occur on the clock.
Tom Pelissero joining us. I was going to ask you about the Pats at three. It seems like every single year, Tom, there's always that marquee quarterback who gets picked apart. This year, it's May. I spoke to North Carolina head coach Mack Brown last week. He called him, as you might expect, he called him one of the best players and best people he's ever coached. So I'm curious, where do you come out on all the criticism of May? And if Daniels does, in fact, go second, are the Pats locked in on May with number three?
There's a couple of different things with Drake May. One is just, you know, the accuracy. That comes up from the coaches a lot when I talk to people. Just, you know, one of them said to me, he's not naturally accurate, so it's going to be a project. Now, there's a lot to work with in terms of the tools, the arm, the size, you know, good athletic ability, maybe not quite Justin Herbert, but he can move around pretty well for a big guy. He's likable. He is young, though. You know, there's always kind of some maturity in general that takes place when you're 20, 21 years old. And coming from that offense, like other North Carolina quarterbacks in the past, it's just such a gigantic leap because it's so simplistic the way that they run things. Now, with Drake May, he comes from an athletic family. You know, his dad played there. His brother won a basketball national title. His other brother won a baseball national title at the University of Florida. He's always been the young kid in the family who's, you know, losing 50 straight ping pong games or whatever it is and then going, okay, rack them up. Let's go one more time. I'm going to win this next one. So it's not like there's concern about he's going to be bad initially and it's going to ruin him. It's more so, ideally, you just don't want to force somebody out there before they're ready. He's got a lot to learn. There's every reason to think that he's got the aptitude and he can pick it up. You just want to give him a little bit of time. So we all know in the NFL right now, you generally don't have the benefit of time. People within the league I've spoken to think New England would be a really good fit for him because you have Jacoby Brissett there, because there's not as much pressure for him to play right away. And that it would also be a fit for the Patriots in that division, getting a big, strong guy for when you're playing in the elements and you're playing in cold weather. That might be something that's alluring to them as well. But you have the Giants at 6, you have the Vikings at 11. Depending, again, how those first two picks fall, you could have competition for a couple other teams to trade up to number 3. To this point, the Patriots haven't gotten an offer that's compelled them to move. And again, I would think, no matter what, things can change, but I would not anticipate that they're going to move off that pick, if they move off that pick, until they're on the clock Thursday night.
Tom Pelissero joining us. All right, Tom, before you go, in addition to your draft responsibilities later on in the week on NFL Network, you are contributing to NFL 360's draft special tomorrow night. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. You're profiling Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt. What can you tell us about his personal journey on his path to the draft?
Well, thanks for asking, Jim. And Michael Pratt is a fascinating story. He has dealt with incomprehensible heartbreak through the course of his life. You know, when he was in high school as a senior, his best friend on the team, Bryce Gowdy, who was a top recruit, he was headed to Georgia Tech the week before. The both of them were supposed to early enroll and leave town. Bryce Gowdy died by suicide. And that was something that weighed heavily on Michael Pratt. He has a tattoo on his arm that says Believe in 7, which was Gowdy's number. He switched his uniform number to number 7. One of his biggest fans was his brother, David, who, if you ever watched the Tulane game when they had that magical season in 2022 and were one of the last unbeaten teams, you know, Pratt after games would run over and jump into this big guy's arms in the front row of the stands. And that was his brother, Michael, who was his biggest fan. Last summer, Michael became a father for the first time. And a couple of weeks later, his brother passed away, David passed away. And so Michael Pratt is somebody who has carried a lot of grief with him. He's also known as one of the exceptional leaders, a guy who, you know, really has this way of bringing people together. He helped bring that Tulane program to places that it had not previously been. When I talk to coaches and scouts about Michael Pratt, there's questions about the player. He's probably a late day 2, early day 3 guy. Maybe he's a long-term backup with upside. But as a person, people absolutely rave about him as a guy. So he gave us really cool access. The NFL 360 people, there's a reason that they lead the country in sports Emmy nominations every year. Their visual storytelling is second to none. And so I got to spend a couple of days with Michael Pratt down in Florida, and I'm really proud of how it came out, and look forward to everybody getting to see it tomorrow.
Tremendous. I'll look forward to that too. Tom Pelissero, an NFL Network insider. And again, the NFL Network has comprehensive live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in the D Thursday through Saturday. Tom, I know it's a busy week. Great to have you on the show. As always, thanks so much, Tom. Have a great week.
You're the best, Jim. Thanks, man.
You too, dude. Much respect, Tom Pelissero. All right, breaking down the top 3 picks. That's going to be pretty interesting. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. We're talking UK basketball later on this hour. New head coach there, Mark Pope, at 10:40. Meantime, phone lines are open. I want to talk about what we saw the first weekend of the NBA playoffs. Pretty horrible, actually. It's got to get better. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like it was great. Not only was it not great, it was ass. It can only get better. There's nothing worse or lower than ass. We've hit rock bottom already. There is a Jameis Winston update, of course. I'm sure you've seen it. If you've had a phone or you own a phone, I'm sure you've seen it. I mentioned that our younger son, Rogan Loam, made a weekend jaunt back to Cali, so that's got me thinking about the Buffs, because he is a Buff. DJ already informed me that we are going to Parents Weekend. She's already got tickets. So I want to get into that. And also, Mike McDaniel, the legend grows. I want to hit that too. In the meantime, I'm looking for your phone calls. Now, think to yourself, Are you more like V or are you more like PJ? Can you make it better? It's not that hard to make it better. Just come in here, be real, be authentic, give me some energy. Don't grip, don't trip, don't freak out, and just get on the phone. You might get a little taste of that jungle drug. You know, like it happens, and then I can't shake people. Alvy, heads up. Oh, look at Alvy going old school with the drug test. I was going to say, Alvy, I wasn't calling for a drug test, but thank you. I'm trying to get you to get ready because there's going to be a Prize Picks mention. Okay, Alvy. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. With over 3 million active members, all you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, then watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in all of sports, and offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this basketball season. I love it. Alvy loves it. You will love it. Download the app right now. Use the code ROME for a first deposit match of up to $100. Code ROME, R-O-M-E on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Alvin, give me a pick.
Hey, Jim. Happy Monday.
Hey, Alvin. Happy Monday, brah.
Okay, LeBron James, more than 25.5 points. Donovan Mitchell, more than 20.5 points. Josh Hart, more than 9.5 points. And then I'm going to throw in a fourth. Tobias Harris, more than half a three-pointer.
Dude! So four. You've never done four.
Right, and this time I'm going to change it up. They do a thing, you could make a flex play, meaning you only have to win 3 out of the 4. So it's a little different.
All right, so you get paid on 3 out of the 4. Obviously, more if you get all 4.
Right.
But you still get paid 3 of the 4.
Right.
And I then love that.
And then it's a squash if you only get 2.
All right,
so it's a little different.
So let me ask you, dude, this is genius. I absolutely love it. Who should I praise, you or Mystery Mike?
Oh, this is all me.
Okay, dude. I love it. Alvy, quickly as you can, because there's 4. Run that back. I love it.
Okay. Here we go.
Sorry to put you out, bro.
Donovan Mitchell, 20.5 more points. LeBron James, more than 25.5 points. Josh Hart, more than 9.5 points. And number 4, Tobias Harris, more than a half three-pointer.
Alvin, nice job. Love it. So we've been doing this since Prize Picks debuted on the program. Alvy has never, ever given us 4 picks. Love it. Clones, do what you do. But if you want to get paid, I would do what he did. More after this.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What is it?
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, again, hit me on the phones. Now is the time to do so. Mark Pope coming up at 40 past. Quick message for you, and then we'll get right back to it. You know, you want to feel good. Feeling good affects everything, right? Then you get your true experience in life. And it really depends in large part how you feel. And you want to feel great. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. Now, here's what I like about it. Number one. It's 100% drug-free. Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. I love that about it. And we're talking about all kinds of pain. Neck, back, joint, muscle pain. Relief Factor can, in fact, help you feel better. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Something else I love about Relief Factor. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. In 3 weeks or less, you will know if it's working because you'll feel the difference. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Let's see here. Jamie in Green Bay asks, did Alvin ironically hit you with that happy Monday? Or is he one of those people that goes around saying that? I'm going to say it's ironic. He normally is not that. He'll always hit me with a hi, Jim. I respect that. But normally not a happy Monday. Alvin was like, dude, did I really happy Monday him? Alvin like blocks out anytime he's got to go on the mic. It's like the great mind eraser. It's incredible. He has no recollection of happy Mondaying me, and it happened like 5 minutes ago. And he doesn't even know. It's like he had some kind of out-of-body experience. Dude, did I really do that? Dude, did I say Blue Monday? Did I say anything? Oh, yeah. Alvin, you would know, dude. You have the tape. You would know what you said. Go back and listen. Yes, you happy Mondayed me. Hi, Jim. Can you please refer to the association as the ass or just ass going forward? Scott in the 716. Well, yes, Scott, I can. I can do whatever the hell I want. My name's on the marquee. But I probably won't do that yet. I'll think about it. Believe me, if the rest of the postseason goes like the first weekend of the postseason went, then the answer is yes, I will do that. In the meantime, hit me up. And Madden King 420, quote, Denver started slow on Saturday and finished on a high. Me too. Regards, Bong Rip Nation. Man, y'all were so bent that 420 fell on a Saturday, right? You didn't get your run. So now you're like, well, we didn't get our love. We didn't get our respect. We didn't get our time. We didn't get our real estate on Friday because it was 419, Rome. So we're just going to jump that thing right to Monday. Better late than never. Did I mention Mark Pope is coming up at 10:40? Well, there you go. It's incredible. You really took that very seriously. I kind of took for granted how important it was to you all on 420. We just did it, and we'd have fun with it. But then when the show did not fall on it, you weren't having it. As an example, like when I was in college and I thought about the kind or the sticky icky or the cron, you know what I thought of? And I went to Santa Barbara. UC Santa Barbara. So we had a lot of everything. But back in the day, back before legalization, when you thought about the kind, you thought about one place. Humboldt. Fact. Let's go there right now. Jay in Humboldt. Jay, what's going on?
Hey, Room. I got so baked the stoner holiday. I dropped and broke my coffee mug after a wake and bake. I got the super glue out to fix it, but I was at critical mass and had to drop a growler. Long story short, I actually...
That's not a good cup. No.
You don't like that cup.
I don't like that.
Dude, I don't need the long version. I don't need the short version. I don't need any version of that story, Stoner. Nobody needed any version of that story, Stoner. After I give you that big lead-in, too. And I'm trying to accommodate you 420ers a couple of days after the fact, but you're going to come in here. Look, if one of the rules of the beef segment is I don't want toilet humor, you dropping a growler is going to get you run every damn time. So long version, short version, medium version, no version. Hey, Jay, I got a question for you. Was that a take about 420? Or are you taking a dump? Because what you just did, in effect, Jay, was take a dump on my show.
Big dump in your...
And by taking a dump on my show, you took a dump on me and all the listeners. And even on the day that means so much to you, the Stoner Christmas. Essentially, none of that worked, Jay. None of it. That didn't make it better, Jay. Maybe for you, because you're so baked, you're blind. Like Alvy. Like Alvy not knowing he said Happy Monday. You probably, Jay, do you even know what you just did? Jay's one of those dudes that probably is going to call back because he forgot that he called. Yeah, yo, Chalk, it's Jay and Humboldt. Right, Jay, we just had you on the air. No, you didn't. No, Jay, really, we just had you on the air. You got run, remember? Nah, brah. Brah, we haven't talked today. We haven't talked since last 420. No, Jay, we talked 30 seconds ago and you got run. Yeah, dude, I don't remember. Yeah, neither did Alvy. I'm not one of those people that has any interest or any care in what you do in your bathroom ever. I'm there to take care of my business, get the hell out, and not share any details with anybody. Yet some of you are comfortable sharing your details of that on a nationally, again, a nationally syndicated radio program. We're here early, yo. Don't bring us down. We're working the product hard. We care about our craft. That's not improving the craft. Alvy, stop encouraging them. I mean, normally I'd reset you right now with a phone number, but part of me does not want you to have the phone number. You know who's hearing the phone number? The people who don't need it. People who don't deserve it. Stoners. AJ Arlington. Dude, pick me up. Make it better. Make it better, AJ. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about how pathetic the 8-point performance in the quarter from the Mavs was. I mean, they talk about Kyrie and Luka being the greatest offensive players ever, like crown them. And how ironic is that they have the most pathetic quarter in like playoff history. I mean, 8 points, it's just ridiculous. I was telling my friend the whole season, like, they don't play defense. Yeah, they're good, but I mean, I got to see it. I think they get swept, but they might get one. If Kawhi comes back, they definitely get swept. It's just a different game in the playoffs. But 8 points, you got to talk about that, Rome. Thank you.
You're not wrong, dude. An 8-point second quarter when you've got those two dudes and a 30-point first half. Not good. You know, like, I want to say to you, somebody not named Luka. And I don't think I need to go. I can do that from the basement. I don't need to go to the second floor for that. Somebody not named Luka and Kyrie are going to have to step up, and nobody did. But an 8-point second quarter in the postseason with Kawhi not out there? I mean, did somebody need to tell the Mavericks that the postseason began? That's bad. Really bad. But like I said, the entire weekend was bad. Nothing but chalk, except for the Pelicans that nearly rose up and shocked OKC without Zion. Other than that, a totally forgettable weekend. Like, Dallas, did you not have time to prepare? Did you not know? Seems like it, because they were down 26 at halftime after an 8-point second quarter. The beard left his fat suit in the closet, came out, and dropped 28 on them. Yeah, dude, you have every right to be upset. Every right to be upset. All right, when we come back, we're talking Kentucky basketball. Did y'all get Alvy's four picks? Alvy, do you even remember the four picks? If you don't remember happy Mondaying me, how can I trust you with those four picks? Straight cash, Alvy. Straight cash, Alvy. All right, let's get to the bottom of the hour sports update in order to get to Mark Pope. First things first, here is the update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
So, you know, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this since the minute it was announced. But we're now joined by the new head basketball coach at Kentucky. He was officially introduced on April 14th. He previously served as BYU's head coach for 5 years, reaching the NCAA tournament in 2021 and last season as a player. He won the 1996 Natty with Kentucky. He played 6 years in the NBA with the Pacers, the Bucks, the Nuggets. We are joined right now by the new head coach of Kentucky, Mark Pope. Mark, it is absolutely awesome to chop it up with you once again. How you feeling, coach?
Hey, Jim, I am, like, now it feels real that I get to come on the show, brother. Come on. This is awesome. I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, dude, it's so good to have you back. All right, so, Mark, change is hard for most people. I know how stressful, for instance, just moving can be. So I've got to know, what have the last few weeks been like for you since you accepted the Kentucky job and returned to your alma mater?
Well, it's absolute mayhem and chaos, which is it always is. I'm leaving a place that I dearly love in BYU that was so great for me. We had an epic run there and just developed such incredible lifelong relationships, and people were so great. And then there's all the chaos and madness of coming to the mecca of college basketball, right? And it is everything that you could possibly imagine and more. And so the only thing that's bringing calm to all the chaos and the madness is that we're coming home. Like, this is our home. When we first got here on Sunday, we did a little press conference, and it was kind of group after group, and every single group I talked to, as I'm speaking to the group, it's like I'm picking out faces that I haven't seen in 25 years, but I love dearly, and we're so connected. And so it's just us coming home, man. And so it feels like very chaotic, and there's so much to do and everything else, but it just feels like we're back home, and we're so grateful and enjoying every day of the work.
I think that's great. I love everything about that, Mark. You're right. I think that's such a good point. You are coming home. I can only imagine if you were to just drop into that environment, having never experienced that environment before, how wild that would be. But you see familiar faces, and you are coming home. Mark Pope, my guest. Now, introductory pressers generally are high-energy events, but I've never seen one like yours. It was held at Rupp Arena. Your AD, Mitch Barnhart, pointed out that there are larger attendances, or that was a larger attendance than most teams have for their game. James, what did it mean to you to see your old friends and the BBN show up and show out the way they did when you were introduced as the Wildcats' new head coach?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, I've never seen anything like it in my life or the history of sports, actually. And the beautiful, I mean, we had 22,000 people. We had people lined up at 9 o'clock, that came from states away just to be a part of it. And they had to turn away, give or take 5,000 people that couldn't even get into Rupp Arena, right? That's hard to do. And it actually, the one thing that's super humbling is that it didn't really have anything to do with me. It had to do with Kentucky basketball. It had to do with Big Blue Nation. It had to do with the way that the people here love the Cats and what this program means to the state of Kentucky. And so, getting to witness that firsthand, Jim, I'm telling you, it's incredibly humbling. It's awesome because that's really the truth. All those people gathered in Rupp Arena to celebrate Kentucky basketball and to show their commitment to this team. And there's never been anything like it before. And it's just because of the uniqueness of Kentucky basketball. So to kind of get to stand there in the center of it and take it in and feel the passion, was incredible. Like this is, we say this all the time. This is not my team. It's not even our players' team. This is Kentucky's team. And that's super special. It just doesn't exist in sports. We kind of think about the Green Bay Packers maybe as the closest approximation, but it's incredibly special to be a part of this program.
Mark Pope joining us. I personally have never seen anything like that, but then again, there's nothing like the BBN. Another key moment from that presser was you bounding off that bus, rocking the 1996 National Championship Trophy. So what's your vision? Now we can get into it a little bit. What's your vision for getting the Wildcats back to consistently competing for natties?
Well, it's first of all, that's the standard here, right? If you want to run from that standard, don't come here because that's the standard. That's what BBN expects. That's what Kentucky tradition expects. That's what every great player that's been here over the last 100 years expects. And so we're embracing that expectation fully, and we're trying to carry on a legacy. Listen, Cal left an incredible legacy here. Tubby Smith left an incredible legacy. He came and won his first one. And obviously I got to be a part of Coach P and Coach Pitino and what he did here. And then before me was Joby Hall. And you just think about the legacy of Kentucky basketball. So we want to carry that on and continue. We want to continue to build on that. And then we're going to do it kind of the way that college basketball is dictating right now. Right now, we're being incredibly active in the transfer portal. We're going to have some veteran leadership on this team. You know, we're signing superstar young players just today. You know, we got we're allowed to talk now about Colin Chandler, who's one of the great talents in all of college basketball, young talent. He's just returned home from church mission, and it's going to be everything in between. But mostly it's going to be guys that are willing to come here and understand what it means to wear the Kentucky uniform and understand that this is bigger than themselves. And that's going to be a pathway for guys to hang banners. It's going to be a pathway for guys to go have incredible careers in the NBA. And it's going to be a pathway, most importantly, for guys to build a legacy at the greatest basketball program in the country. And, Jim, I'm so happy to be able to say that, man. It's so fun.
It's incredible, and it's true. Kentucky head basketball coach Mark Pope joining us. You mentioned Cal. Mark, I'm curious. I mean, he's going to work, obviously, for an SEC rival at Arkansas, but have you heard from John Calipari since you were hired? Are you at all interested in kind of talking to him about his experience in Lexington?
Yeah, you know, I'm super grateful for Cal. Like, I really appreciate him. He's been a great friend to me as we've kind of been growing through the ranks of college basketball. In fact, you know, even as recently as Saturday of the Final Four, it was 12 or 24 hours before the news broke, you know, we got to talk for a little while in the lobby at the Final Four. I think genuinely with neither of us having any way to conceive what was about to transpire over the next 24 hours and 72 hours. And so, you know, I love him. He's going to continue to do great things in college basketball, and it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be really fun to compete, and we'll keep rolling and just keep our goals the same.
All right, so before you go, when you talk about what it means to be a Wildcat, then there's the style of play, right? You won at least 19 games, Mark, in each of the five seasons at BYU, and you did it in part by shooting the three ball. Last year you made the second most threes in college basketball. Can I go ahead and assume that you're going to stick with that approach at UK?
Yes, we are, man. 27 by 50, baby. Yeah, trademark that right now. 27 by 50. We're trying to make teams guard 27 by 50. Coach P would be so proud because he kind of revolutionized the three-point line when it was introduced in college basketball, and that's a huge part of what we do. But I'm also proud, you know, that we averaged the fourth most assists in college basketball last year, playing in the best defensive league in the country. I'm really proud of that, And I'm really proud that we had the sixth best assisted turnover ratio, and I'm really proud that we made the second most threes. That's got to change. We got to lead the country in three-point shots. So all of that is going to be a part of what we're trying to build here at Kentucky.
So, Mark, one last thought. Tell me what it was like getting off that bus with your teammates from the 1996 championship squad. What were they telling you in terms of the program getting one of their own back, and what was it like for you to get back with these guys?
So listen, getting off the bus, so we got to reenact what we did 27 years ago. 27 years ago, we won a national championship in the Meadowlands, beat a great red-hot Syracuse team, came back, and BBN showed up in just the most epic way. And as a team, we walked off the bus, drove right into the Marriott Center, the Rupp Arena floor, and walked out with trophy in hand just like that. So We rolled into Rupp. We kind of thought we'd run back the same thing. And what was beautiful was it wasn't getting off the bus. Getting off the bus was incredible. It was incredible to see BBN out the way they were. Like, it just was – it's breathtaking. Like, it's unprecedented in basketball, right? What was more special to me was getting on the bus. So, you know, we had players from every generation, the Kentucky greats from every generation, including at the back of the bus – some of my dear friend teammates that played in 96, and getting on the bus and walking back aisle by aisle and getting to look those guys in the eyes and understand what this program means to them from the, like I said, from the guys Joby Hall and before Joby Hall to Coach Pitino to Tubby to Cal. it just is really special, man. This legacy here at Kentucky is just incredible, and I love it. And so getting off the bus, incredible. Getting on the bus and sharing that moment with all the Kentucky greats is even better.
Welcome home, big dude. Welcome home. And you made it back into the jungle so we could talk about that, which you know I appreciate. Mark Pope is the head basketball coach at Kentucky. Mark, yeah, I know you got a million things going on, but I will look for you soon. I will run you down, and we will once again talk BBN and Wildcat ball. Congratulations, Mark. It's awesome.
So much love for you, Jim Rome. Thanks for having me on. Let's go, Cats.
Let's go, Cats. So much love for you too, Coach. Appreciate it. Mark Pope, he was always so great about coming on when he was at BYU and talking ball, chopping it up. So it was a natural when he got back to Lexington, coming home, new head coach at UK, Mark Pope. And he could tell, man, he's still sky high, still on the energy, still feeling the love. That is going to be something to see. And only BBN. There are a lot of amazing fan bases. Who else is going to pack an arena, not only pack an arena with 22 grand, but have people outside who can't even get in? Not for a Final Four game, not for an SEC tournament championship game, not for a showdown with a rival, but for the introductory presser of the new head coach. And I thought it was pretty poignant what he said. He said, listen, they're not here for me. They're here for Kentucky basketball. That's how much the BBN loves Kentucky basketball. I've never seen a presser like that. All right, so BBN, what do you think? What are your thoughts? Mark Pope joining us. And he was talking about a player they got today, and he is out scouring the nation right now, trying to get guys, trying to get players. 2 hours down, hour number three, straight ahead. Open phones. Other things I want to talk about, though. I do want to talk about the Miami Dolphins. And you know that I've got a lot of love for Mike McDee. A lot of love for a guy who hasn't won a playoff game yet. But I think it's a question, not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And this is another example of that. So we will get into it. I want to talk some Colorado Buffalo football. Because Coach Prime is saying, we're good, man. We're good. We're good. Have faith. I don't know, dude. From where I'm sitting, you don't look so great. But I'll entertain that notion of have faith. Even though you lost 8 of 9 and finished in dead last in conference play, I'll entertain that notion that we should keep the faith. All of that and your phone calls when we come back.